Welcome to the FTN DataCast, the fantasy football podcast where data drives the discussion. Here's your host, Adam Pfeiffer.
It is Friday, and you know what that means. Once again, we are back with the FTN DataCast. Adam Pfeiffer here, Friday, September 29th, 2023, approaching the start. I guess we already did start week four on Thursday. Lions really dismantling Green Bay. David Montgomery, massive game, but we will break down the rest of week four here on the read option episode of the FTN DataCast. If you are new, every single week I write this massive game by game article, which I've done a couple years now at FTN, but a little bit different this year. It's called the read option, and instead of one huge long article, it is split into each game. So you can go to the landing page at ftnfantasy.com, choose which game you want to read about, and click and go through it from there. Very, very easy, much easier to consume. And if you are not set up for FTN Fantasy, first of all, what are you doing? But there will be three games that are free every single week to kind of get you an idea of what the article will entail each week. And hopefully you like it and hopefully you enjoy it and sign up for FTNFantasy.com. We have so much amazing stuff between articles, podcasts, live streams. The DFS content has been really crushing to start the season. We now have DVOA from Aaron Schatz, which has been so, so delightful to have the DVOA, the metrics, his amazing work. So a ton of great stuff at FTNFantasy.com. Here on week four, though, we start with the first set of London games of the season. Jacksonville, obviously, with a quote-unquote home game, which kind of is a home game for them, considering how often they play in London. But they host, quote-unquote, the Falcons. Atlanta's offense really struggled last week against Detroit. And the frustrating part about it was, I mean, look, we saw a game where Desmond Ridder threw 38 passes, and yet still nothing from Drake London, still very little from Kyle Pitts. So, like, obviously you're starting Bijan Robinson. He struggled last game, but he still leads all running backs with a 20% target share this season. So, yeah, like, I still love the way they're utilizing him. Would you like him to get all the touches and not 15 to Tyler Algier? Sure, but, you're starting Bijan Robinson. But, yeah, like, Drake London was drafted in, what, the 4th, 5th, 6th round? And all of a sudden, you have some serious decisions to make whether you start him or not. I mean, 47 dropbacks, 38 pass attempts from Desmond last week, and still, Drake London, 2 catches for 31 yards on 6 targets. Like, we knew last year the floor wasn't high, but he was dominating targets when this team threw the football. That's not quite the case this season because the running backs have accounted for 27% of the team's targets. The tight ends have accounted for 38% of the team's targets. Those are both top 5 rates in the NFL. So, yeah, like, Drake London's now starting to flirt with, like, wide receiver 4 status. And then Kyle Pitts, I mean, I wrote about it. Like, starting Kyle Pitts in fantasy is like ordering fast food late in the day. You know you shouldn't do it, because when it's all said and done, you'll definitely regret it, but you just can't help yourself. And that's kind of where I feel like I'm at with Kyle Pitts. Look, the good news is he was targeted 9 times last week, but once again, not getting a lot of catchable targets. Last season, just 59% of his targets were catchable. This year, it's at 56%. Like, he just can't catch a break. There's also reports and concerns if he's really 100% healthy. So it's frustrating because he leads all tight ends with a 12-yard ADOT, average depth of target. And, like, yes, Kyle Pitts is so talented that he's going to make some plays down the field with that. But he's also so talented in a team on a team that doesn't have much outside of him at, you know, wide receiver and tight end, to where why are they not scheming targets and touches for him? So it's frustrating. He's still a back end tight end one against a Jacksonville team that has allowed the 3rd most targets per game to opposing tight ends at 9.3. For Jacksonville, starting Travis Etienne, he's handled over 77% of Jacksonville's running back rush attempts so far this season. He's played 75% of the snaps. Last week, 19 carries. He's getting more work in the passing game this year. Last year, his target share was at 7.8%. This year, it's at 11.5%. So that's really encouraging. We still seen Tank Bigsby get all of the carries from this team inside the 5-yard line so far this season. But you're getting 20 touches per game from Etienne. You're starting him. The passing game has been pretty frustrating. Really bad game from Jacksonville's passing game last week. Definitely was not all Trevor Lawrence's fault, though. Multiple bad drops from the Jaguars. And so far this season, he has 9 drops, Trevor Lawrence. Obviously not him, but you know the pass catchers. 9 drops. Leads the NFL. Jackson was also struggled on third downs. They're converting just 30% of third downs. Bottom 5 in the NFL. Atlanta, I mean, this should be, you would think, a better spot, but they're not really the cakewalk matchup that they used to be. Like, 4th lowest completion rate, 5th lowest yards per pass attempt. I'm still trusting Trevor Lawrence as back-end quarterback 1, but, like, I think I prefer Geno, Anthony Richardson. I think I prefer those two over him, but I'm not benching him for, like, Dak, Daniel Jones, Stafford, etc. At wide receiver, we saw Calvin Ridley. He really struggled last game. You know, he had that massive week 1 game, but since then, just 5 catches for 72 yards. He's had a ton of drops. I think he leads the NFL in drops now. The metrics are still solid. 23% target share, 24% targets per out run. Tough matchup against AJ Terrell, who's bounced back this season after a down season in 2022. Ridley's around like wide receiver 15 for me right now. And then Christian Kirk, I mean, he's been fantastic the last 2 weeks. No Zay Jones last week, so we saw Kirk pretty much take all of the snaps in 2 wide sets, which wasn't the case prior to week 1 or week 2. And he's been, you know, the best player on this team the past 2 weeks in terms of wide receivers. So he's a high-end wide receiver 3 for me right now, maybe even a little bit higher now that we do have confirmation that Zay Jones is out. And at tight end, you're starting Evan Ingram. Like, he hasn't had the massive game, but in a position that's so tough to feel great about, he's presented such a nice floor. 7 passes last week for 67 yards. He has at least 5 catches and 49 yards in all 3 games this season, running around on 85% of Jacksonville's passing plays. His 109 total routes are the third most among tight ends. We just saw Atlanta get destroyed by Sam Laporta last week for 884 and a touchdown. They've allowed a tight end to find the end zone in 2 of the 3 games. 4th most fantasy points per game to tight ends. I absolutely love Evan Ingram here. And just kind of overlooked with how consistent and solid he's been so far this season. All right. So excited for this game. Miami at Buffalo. You're pretty much starting everybody almost, right? Like, this should be fun. I think the total is like 53.5, 54 points. You're starting Tua. You're starting Raheem Mostert, who's been unbelievable. This is such an interesting matchup, too, for the Dolphins, because when these teams played last season, especially in that late game, Miami ran the football. They had more of an emphasis on running the football, and Mostert went off. He had like 17 carries for almost 140 yards. And this Buffalo defense so far this season is very interesting with how they've defended the run. So the Bills so far this season, they give up a lot of explosive runs, right? But they also, like, if they aren't giving up explosive runs, they are shutting the run down. So it's total boom bust type of run defense right now. So far this season, according to DVOA, they are stuffing 30% of runs at or behind the line of scrimmage. That's the second highest rate in the league. But at the same time, 16% of the runs against him have gained 10 plus yards, which is the third highest rate in the league. So kind of a perfect matchup if you think about it. Like, once you get to the second level against Buffalo, they don't have the speed, especially against Mostert and Devon Achane, right? And we did get Jordan Poyer ruled out. I actually think that helps, or hurts, I should say, the Dolphins running backs, just because Jordan Poyer, as good of a player as he is, we saw that touchdown run, or the almost touchdown run from Breece Hall back in week 1, where he just didn't have the speed or the angles. They'll start Taylor Rapp at safety, who's definitely more athletic and has more speed. So I think that actually helps Buffalo's run defense, as crazy as it sounds. Definitely hurts when you talk about Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if we see in a close game, obviously Miami won by 70 or won by 50 last week. I don't know if the touch and snap usage is as close as it was between Mostert and Achane this week. But also at the same time, like, I don't know how you go away from somebody that just had 200 rushing yards and 4 touchdowns. So I think it's like a 1A, 1B situation probably. Mostert, I don't know how you don't have him as at least like a top 15 running back, probably a little bit higher than that. And then while Achane, I think a lot of people will suddenly just immediately put him as a starting running back, I think he's more of a flex play still. Obviously, the upside's massive, but it's interesting given the way this Bills run defense has kind of performed so far this season. You're starting Tyreek Hill, leads the NFL in first read targets, 35% target share, 40% target per out run rate. And then Jalen Waddle, out of the concussion protocol, he will play. You're starting him as well. For Buffalo, again, you're starting Josh Allen. He has dominated the Miami Dolphins. Since 2021, he's played, I believe, 5 games against his team in the regular season. 27 fantasy points per game, 297 passing yards, 47 rushing yards. They have this Vic Fangio defense now where they're playing more zone and stuff, but like Josh Allen has shredded the Dolphins when they were in the blitz slash man heavy unit. And then he's played Vic Fangio-led defenses in the past and has shredded them as well. So starting Josh Allen. Starting James Cook, who quietly third in the NFL in rushing yards right now. He has been as efficient as anybody. Second in the NFL in explosive runs. Top 10 in yards per touch at 6.2. And he's got 12 targets through 3 weeks, which gives him a 12.3% target share, doubled from his rookie season. Yeah, you're starting James Cook. Again, he has not played more than... He's played 3 snaps from inside the 5-yard line, whereas Latavius Murray and Damien Harris have combined for 11 such snaps. Takes away from his ceiling a little bit, but he's also averaging like 18 touches per game. So you love that from James Cook. You're starting Diggs, and Gabe Davis is a high-end wide receiver 3. There's a ton of upside here, obviously. The tight end situation is interesting. Watching what the Lions are doing with Sam Laporta right now, it's pretty frustrating as a Bills fan, right? Because they drafted Dalton Kincaid in the first round. They talked about how he would be essentially their slot receiver. And like when the Bills play a ton of 12, again, they lead the NFL in 12 personnel usage right now. But there's some games where they play a little bit less than they had. And in those games, like last week, Dawson Knox plays more snaps and runs it's pretty much a split though. Like last week it was 35 snaps for Kincaid, 41 for Knox, and they both ran 23 and 24 routes. The matchup is really good if you want to take a shot on Kincaid or Knox. Miami this season allowed 2 tight ends to score so far this season. They allowed the second most fantasy points per game to tight ends last season, so it is a good matchup. But the usage, I mean, there's nothing down the field from Dalton Kincaid right now. Everything's, he's chipping a defender and then kind of, releasing for like a 3-yard reception. It's not been pretty, but the matchup, the game total, the environment, everything, it's enticing. Minnesota and Carolina up next. Kirk Cousins, the overall quarterback 1 in fantasy. You're starting him. The passing rate is insane. Minnesota is currently passing the ball 74.5% of the time in neutral game scripts, highest rate in the NFL. Cousins has thrown 44, 44, and 50 passes. Carolina's defense really banged up right now. No J.C. Horn, no Shaq Thompson. Frankie Louvu is questionable to play in this game. So you would probably need Carolina's offense to push Minnesota in this game for Cousins to have 45 to 50 passes again. But the strength of this team is clearly the passing game. So Cousins, a top 10 quarterback again. It was good to see Alexander Mattison have his best game of the year last week. 125 scrimmage yards on 25 touches. He played 79% of the snaps, handled 87% of the team's rushing attempts. Again, there was no Cam Akers for this game. He's probably going to play this week, but I don't know if it's enough to where we see Madison lose a ton of work. And it's a good matchup here. Carolina, 14% of the runs against them have gained 10-plus yards, 6th highest rate in the league. According to DVOA, they are 29th in adjusted line yards as well. So Madison, who is 2nd among all running backs in snaps from inside the 5-yard line with 10, he remains a volume-based running back 2. Start Justin Jefferson. Jordan Addison is a upside wide receiver 3. We did see him run a route on a season high 80% of dropbacks last week. That's really encouraging. He's getting work down the field. 5 of his 19 targets have been on go or post routes. So that gives him a ton of upside. And then of course you're starting TJ Hockenson, who, dating back to last season when he joined the team, has seen at least 8 targets in 10 of 13 games with the Vikings. Carolina also plays a lot of zone. And TJ Hockenson so far this season, 23% target share against zone defense. So, yeah, he's been unbelievable. And for Carolina, we actually have to keep an eye on Miles Sanders. did not practice on Friday with a groin. He's questionable. Frank Reich said he's optimistic that he'll play. If he doesn't, Chuba Hubbard becomes a borderline top 20 play. This team's targeting the running backs a ton. I mean, Miles Sanders leads the NFL among running backs and targets right now. His 16.8% target share is third at the position. So, yeah, it's tough to say right now. If Sanders is active, he's a volume-based running back too. Has not been very efficient, but he's getting a ton of targets. He had 9 last week. If he's out, Chuba Hubbard probably fills in right around the same spot I would have ranked Miles Sanders, to be honest. At wide receiver, looks like Bryce Young is going to play, so Andy Dalton won't be there, but Adam Thielen, wide receiver 16 and wide receiver 3 the last 2 weeks. During that span, he has a 27% target share. This Panthers offense can't attack vertically right now, so we're seeing a lot of usage from Thielen, who is playing in the slot 76% of the time, which means he'll see coverage from Josh Metellus, who's allowing a 93% catch rate so far this season in coverage. Minnesota's also allowing 6.7 receptions per game to opposing pass catchers from the slot, second most in the NFL. Revenge game. Thielen's all of a sudden on the wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3 borderline against his former team. All right, something's got to give with this game, right? Broncos at Bears. The Bears' offense looks like one of the worst in the league. The Broncos just gave up 70 points. This game is going to be 16-10 or 35-32. I don't know if there's an in-between, right? It's been frustrating for Justin Fields. I'm still rolling him out there at least one more week. The design rushing attempts went up last week. He had 5 design rushing attempts from weeks 1 to 2. He had 7 design rushing attempts in week 3 alone. That's encouraging. I mean, he's not playing well. I don't think he played terribly against the Chiefs. But I mean, this just has to be the spot, right? Like, obviously, things are a little bit skewed because this team just got absolutely destroyed last week. But this has been a bad defense prior to that game. They're dead last in pressure rate, which is great for Justin Fields because we know how bad this offensive line is. We know how many sacks Justin Fields takes. So that's great. 9.7% passing touchdown rate from the Broncos, worst in the NFL. Most yards, most points per drive. If it doesn't happen here, I don't know if it happens this year. I also think you can go to Khalil Herbert or Roschon Johnson as flex plays. The Broncos, I mean, we just saw they missed 25 tackles last week. 25. We saw Devon Achane and Raheem Mostert combined for 375 yards and 8 touchdowns against them last week. 3.91 yards after contact per attempt by the Broncos is the second worst in the NFL. And just about 15% of the runs against them have gained 10-plus yards. I mean, since week 2, again, Dante Foreman's been a healthy scratch since week 2. Since then, Herbert's been at 57% snap share. Johnson's been at 44%. Herbert's been at 55% of the running back carries. Roschon's been at 45%. And third down snap share, Khalil Herbert's been at 58%. Roschon's been at 42%. So it looks like Herbert's the 1A, but this is a matchup where they can both have, you know, strong flex value. At wide receiver, DJ Moore, kind of a tough matchup. I mean, on paper, the matchup looks great, but I think he'll be shadowed a little bit by Pat Surtain. Obviously, he shadowed Tyreek Hill last game. A, that's Tyreek Hill. B, it's so tough to shadow wide receivers in the Dolphins because they run so much pre-snap motion. So it's really tough to actually follow them across the field. Not as much the case here with DJ Moore. Despite the really good matchup on paper, like I said, I still have DJ Moore as a wide receiver 3. And then Cole Kmet, like, he's fine for chasing the matchup and chasing the game and the defense. Like, the Broncos haven't given up much to tight ends this season, but they faced Austin Hooper and Michael Mayer. They faced Durham Smythe and Julian Hill last week, and then they faced Logan Thomas in week 2, and he had 22 yards and a touchdown before leaving with a concussion. So it's a pretty favorable matchup if you want to chase the stream kind of play with Cole Kmet. Baltimore at Cleveland, all of a sudden, Deshaun Watson might not play. Dealing with a shoulder issue. If he doesn't play, we'll see Dorian Thompson-Robinson start. So he was really impressive in the preseason, really exciting. So we'll have to see. If Watson plays, he's, you know, a mid-range quarterback 2 for me. He was great last week against Tennessee. And yes, Baltimore's secondary is still banged up, but even at, you know, less than 100%, you know, health, still much better than Tennessee's secondary. First game for Cleveland without Nick Chubb. It was tough because it was a blowout. Jerome Ford was the lead running back. He played 55% of the snaps, had 33% of the team's rushing attempts. He got two touchdowns. Wasn't efficient against Tennessee, but played 7 of 10 third downs. Probably got more work if the game is not in hand. That's where Pierre Strong really got his playing time. Was kind of surprised that Kareem Hunt got 8 touches. He only played 21% of the snaps. I wonder if that goes up. Right? I wonder if they actually don't want Jerome Ford to just get 70% of the work. Baltimore's run defense had been really, really good for a while. They just got destroyed by Zach Moss last week. But at the same time, Jerome Ford's not getting the usage that we saw from Zach Moss. So I have Ford as my running back 23 right now. Amari Cooper, you know, you're starting him mid-range, lower end, wide receiver 2. Maybe you bump him down a little bit if Deshaun Watson's out, but he's been very consistent. And he probably should have had a monster game last week, but they rolled him out of bounds when he didn't step out. It would have been a second touchdown for him. 25% target share, over 40% of Cleveland's air yards. Solid matchup for him. He's going to see probably Ronald Darby and Brandon Stevens. I mean, Brandon Stevens has allowed the second most targets and receptions in coverage this season to go along with a 73% catch rate. Not worried about that matchup. And then Elijah Moore, like, he hasn't had this massive blow-up game yet, but he has the same amount of targets as Amari Cooper with 25. He's got a 24% target share, and Cleveland continues to use him all over the formation. 9 snaps out of the backfield last week, giving him 18 over the past 2 games without Chubb. 24, I believe it is, for the season. He has been used in pre-snap motion a ton. 19 snaps from pre-snap motion, according to FTN data, are the 9th most among all wide receivers. So, like, there hasn't been a massive ceiling because he's being used so close to the line of scrimmage. But the floor should be pretty solid in PPR leagues. He's averaging 10.3 opportunities per game if you account for the rushing attempts. So, I like that floor as a weekly wide receiver 3. And I think Elijah Moore's impact and his addition has hurt David Njoku because he's averaging 0.19 fantasy points per route run this season. That was at 0.35 last year. The target share for him has dropped from 18.5% in 2022 to just 12% this season. The frustrating thing, too, is he's running around on 80% of dropbacks. Like, he's on the field a ton, but he's not as much of a focal point of the passing game with Elijah Moore getting a lot of the short area targets, and they're using him in so many different ways. So he's all of a sudden now like a high-end tight end, too. All right, moving right along to the Steelers at the Texans. Steelers offense definitely bounced back a little bit last week against Las Vegas, but still not perfect by any means. We'll talk about it. Kenny Pickett, first, I think this is his first multiple touchdown game of his career so far. 235 yards and 2 touchdowns. He's a fine, you know, second quarterback in 2 quarterback leagues. But the Texans, man, like, give them credit. Last year, they were good against quarterbacks from a fantasy perspective. I thought it was mostly because teams just were running the ball against them so much because they were playing with massive leads. But then you look at this season. They've been good against quarterbacks again. They really limited Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars despite missing Derek Stingley and Jalen Petrie. I think Petrie could be back this week, so still not overly excited to start Kenny Pickett. I also don't know how you're overly excited to start anybody from this backfield. I mean, they had such a perfect matchup last week because the Raiders were so bad in terms of allowing yards before contact, and it still didn't matter. Like, the Steelers tried to run the football more, right? Najee Harris, 19 carries, just 65 yards. We saw a report on Sunday that Jalen Warren would see more work. Wasn't really true. He had just 27% of the team's rushing attempts, had 11 touches. Harris had 19. They actually had the 5th highest neutral script rush rate of the week at 55%. Maybe they tried again here against Houston. That's the weakness of this defense. 77% of the touchdowns against the Texans have come via the run. Second highest rate in the NFL. They've allowed the second most rushing touchdowns. I can still get on board with Harris one more week as a low-end running back too. And Jalen Warren probably sees enough work to warrant flex consideration in this spot. It's been 2 games now for the Steelers without Deontay Johnson. In those 2 games, George Pickens emerging as the clear alpha. 29% target share during that span. And finally, I mean, Matt Canada has still been terrible, but he's at least using George Pickens in different ways. not just strictly off go routes. Last season, 32.9% of his targets came off go routes, the highest rate in the NFL. This year so far, it's down to 8.7%. So we're seeing him more on slants, more in-breaking routes. So that's better for him to make plays after the catch. So I think he's a weekly wide receiver two, high-end wide receiver three at the worst until Deontay Johnson returns. And then it was also good to see Pat Freiermuth bounce back. Still didn't see a ton of targets, just four, but caught three for 41 yards. 8.9% target share is outside the top 30 tight ends. I want that to change. He's also on the tight end one, tight end two borderline this week. CJ Stroud, I believe he just won Offensive Rookie of the Month. And look, I don't know if there's been five, six quarterbacks that have been playing better than CJ Stroud. It's been unbelievable. And he's doing this despite Houston missing pretty much half of their starting offensive line. If they can hold up here, I think Stroud can find his receivers against a secondary that you can exploit. But the question is, can they hold up? Because the Steelers, second highest pressure rate in the NFL, seventh lowest completion rate as well, third highest adjusted sack rate. So Stroud's still like a mid-range quarterback too for me, but the pass rush is a concern here. The good news, Damian Pierce, you know, he found the end zone last week. The bad news is he still only ran for 31 yards on 14 carries. Still has yet to play over 50% of the snaps in a game this season. Just 23 of his 100 rushing yards have come before contact. Singletary's work came in garbage time for what it's worth. You know, the Texans were ahead in that game. It's still tough to feel great about Pierce. The Steelers' run defense has definitely been more vulnerable without Cam Hayward. I think they're allowing over 5 yards per carry with him off the field. And so far this season, they're allowing the most yards after contact per attempt at almost four. So Pierce hopefully gets 15, 18 touches, but it's been a struggle. He's, you know, he's a low end running back to high end flex play at the moment. And then the wide receivers, I mean, Tank Dell loved him at Houston. Thought it was hilarious that a lot of people thought he couldn't win on the outside because he was small. Newsflash, he's winning on the outside at the NFL level, and he's playing 72.5% of his snaps outside. Like, I understand there's concerns about defenders being able to press small receivers like Tank Dell off the line of scrimmage, but that would require you to get hands on him. And his release package is awesome. That's why I loved him. So he's been unbelievable, was great last week, was great the week before. He might be the wide receiver one because Collins, we think, is. But Nico Collins has kind of consistently over the past 2 weeks been third on his team in routes. It's been more Robert Woods and Tank Dell in terms of routes. So good matchup here. Levi Wallace, he had a nice bounce back game last week to an extent, but he still allowed 16 receptions for over 200 yards and a pair of touchdowns in coverage this season. And like Tank Dell and Collins, they're not at this level of players yet, but look what the Steelers have allowed to receivers so far this season. Davante Adams last week, 13 for 172 and 2 touchdowns. Amari Cooper, 7 for 90. And then back in week one, Brandon Ayuk, 8 for 129 and 2. I like Dell a lot. Dell and Collins are both really strong wide receiver three plays for me. And Robert Woods, you could do worse as a flex. He's still running a ton of routes, so that's good to see. And then Dalton Schultz, like, the Texans are dropping back to pass a ton. They trust C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud is playing great. Dalton Schultz is third among all tight ends in routes, and yet he is 26th at the position in receptions, 24th in target share. I thought this offense would kind of go through Schultz more, but Collins and Stroud and Dell ascending and playing so well so fast, I think it's kind of hurt Dalton Schultz. So he's kind of become an afterthought in this offense all of a sudden. Rams at the Colts. This is the game, in my opinion, outside of like the obvious, you know, Chargers in Las Vegas, Buffalo, Miami. This is the game you want to stack in DFS, in my opinion. Rams are top 10 in pace. The Colts lead the NFL in pace, and they lead the NFL in no huddle rate at 19.5% of the time. And there's so much to like here. Stafford, one of the top streaming options of the week against the Colts. Their secondary has been terrible. They're allowing the seventh highest completion rate, eighth highest yards per attempt. The volume for Stafford's been good, just haven't seen the touchdowns. I expect that to change, especially with Kyren Williams stop scoring at the rate he's scoring. Speaking of Kyren Williams, you're starting him. He just played 100% of snaps last week while also playing special teams. That's unsustainable. And we did hear that Sean McVay is going to, you know, get some more running backs involved because you can't play Kyron Williams every snap every single week. Having said that, though, it doesn't mean Williams is suddenly going to be somebody you bench in fantasy. The volume should still be really good. He leads all running backs in snap share, and he's played 93% of the team's third downs. Ton of targets. Coles play a lot of zones, so there could be more checkdowns. You're still starting Kyron Williams. And yeah, like, Puka Nacua came back down to earth a little bit, but if 5 catches for 72 yards is his floor game, we will definitely take that. This is such a great spot for him to bounce back. He's still second among all wideouts with a 34.7% target share. 29 first-read targets is behind only Jefferson, Adams, and Tyreek. Elite usage, we know that. And the Colts just can't defend wide receivers. 4 wide receivers have finished as top 20 fantasy wideouts against him already, with Calvin Ridley, Zay Jones, Nico Collins, and Tank Dell. Colts, 70% zone coverage this season, third highest rate in the league. And Puka, so far, leads the NFL with a 39.2% target share against zone coverage, averaging 3.13 yards per route run. Love him, and I love Tutu. I mean, Tutu Atwell, four catches for 50 yards last week. He's seen at least 8 targets in all 3 games, and Sean McVay continues to move him all of the formation. He has 34 snaps out of pre-snap motion, second among all wide receivers. He's getting used down the field, averaging 9.5 yards per target, 14.5 yards per reception. Just absolutely love him and Puka in this spot. Tyler Higbee's dealing with an Achilles injury, apparently. We'll see if he plays. If he's active, he's a high-end tight end, too. He bounced back a little bit last week, but keep an eye on his status. Anthony Richardson has been cleared. He will play this week, which is exciting. He's a top 10 quarterback. I mean, I know it's been a smaller sample because he played half of week 2 and didn't play week 3, but leads all quarterbacks in fantasy points per dropback. He's handled 12% of the Colts' design rushing attempts. I love what Shane Steichen's doing with this offense right now. They're giving Richardson the carries inside the 5. The Rams' defense has been playing good, but I expect them to come back down to earth a little bit. So, yeah, I'm starting Richardson. And you're starting Zach Moss. I mean, the usage has been unbelievable. He's a must-start running back. Through 2 weeks, he's played 87% of the snaps, handled 86% of the rushing attempts. He's run around on 64% of dropbacks, and he's played 96% of snaps in the 2-minute drill. 27 touches per game. Like, he's seen a carry or a target on 42% of his snaps. That's the highest rate in the league. It's higher than McCaffrey. You're starting him. You're starting him. Starting Michael Pittman, too. I mean, I love the usage right now. Double-digit targets in all 3 games, 30.4% target share. And as I talk about with this offense a lot, it's very similar to the Eagles with a lot of RPOs. The Colts lead the NFL with a 14% RPO rate. And when you're running the RPOs, you either run the ball or you only have one read on the RPO because you have to throw it before the offensive lineman goes downfield and becomes an eligible man downfield. So those reads are Michael Pittman. He has 60% of the Colts RPO targets. So love it. They're also using him in the screen game more. He has seven screen targets so far this season. He had 8 all of last season. So he is a focal point. He's been fantastic. You're starting Michael Pittman as a top 15 wide receiver. Tampa Bay at New Orleans up next. It's the game. It's the Mike Evans versus Marshawn Lattimore matchup. Literally nothing is off the table here. We've seen Evans struggle. We've seen Evans have 1, maybe 2 decent games. We've seen ejections. We've seen fights. Like I don't think it's out of the range of outcomes that Mike Evans doesn't finish this game. So it is a tough matchup, obviously, regardless of the history that these two players have. Evans has struggled here. I mean, since 2019, he's averaging 4.1 targets, 2.2 receptions, and 35 receiving yards, and under 8 PPR points per game against the Saints. Since 2020, Evans has been shadowed by Lattimore on 81, 50, 66, and 63% of his routes. He went without a catch twice in his coverage during that span. So it is a tough spot, but Evans has been unbelievable. 31% target share, 32% target per route run, 50.1% of the air yards is third most in the NFL. I don't think I'm benching Evans unless I have like Puka and Tutu and like maybe Tank Dell, right? But otherwise, like, I'm probably still going to start him. And, like, Mayfield's not afraid to just – I don't think Mayfield's afraid to still throw it to him. If he does struggle with Lattimore once again, it could lead to more looks from Chris Godwin, who has been off to a pretty slow start. There's been – it's a different offense, right? Like, Tom Brady last year got the ball out of his hands so fast, and everything was schemed for Chris Godwin on screen targets and short targets because he was the receiver that was getting the ball close, and Mike Evans is running downfield. He's also playing out wide more in Dave Canales' offense. 73% of the time in the slot last year. This year, it's just over 41%. The Saints are allowing 10.7 targets per game to opposing players line up in the slot, second most in the league. They're also allowing 15.4 fantasy points per game to opposing pass catchers from the slot, so it's a pretty interesting matchup, but Godwin is a wide receiver three at best right now. And then, like, I understand it's tough to bench Rashad White because he's averaging so many touches per game. It's like 20 touches per game. He's top eight in terms of opportunity share. He's playing like 86% of the third downs. Again, he's not been efficient. I don't think he'll be efficient in this game. The Saints are allowing less than 100 rushing yards per game this season, but I have him as like a high-end running back three. It is tough to bench him, though, because the position is just... We just are looking for players getting touches. It'll be Jameis Winston at quarterback for the Saints as Derek Carr recovers from a shoulder issue. I think Jameis will be fine. Like, he'll still be able to... I don't think there'll be a drop-off for Chris Olave or Mike Thomas. Olave's been great, just hasn't scored the touchdowns. You're starting him. Tampa Bay has allowed 3 100-yard games to wide receivers this season, as well as a 64% completion rate on deep passes. Fourth worst in the NFL. They've also had 3 touchdowns off deep passes. So we know Olave's making plays down the field. And we know Jameis likes to throw deep. So I like the spot for Chris Olave. Michael Thomas also, I think he saw like over 40% of the targets once Jameis entered the game last week. He was great with Jameis during the 3 games he was healthy last year. Obviously a little bit different because those were Chris Olave's first 3 NFL games. But yeah, there's not a lot of upside with Thomas because he's doing nothing after the catch, but he's a strong floor wide receiver 3 play. And then Alvin Kamara's back. I don't think he'll be really limited in any capacity. Is he going to see 25 touches? Probably not, but I don't see how you're benching him first game back when we are so missing running backs getting work, period. Washington at Philadelphia. Good luck, Sam Howell. 9 sacks last week, pressured on over 51% of his dropbacks. That was against the Bills, who have a good pass rush, but they were without Von Miller. This Eagles pass rush is different. So, Sam Howell on pace to be sacked over 100 times this season. Don't start Sam Howell. I don't really want to start Brian Robinson if I can help it either. Like, we saw the downside of Robinson last week when Washington got behind by a lot, and we saw... Robinson was efficient, right? He had 70 yards on 10 carries, but the Commanders were down by 2 scores pretty much the entire game, which led to Robinson playing a season-low 37% of the snaps. Gibson played 63% of the snaps. On the season, Robinson has played just 5% of the team's snaps in the 2-minute drill. Washington, pretty large underdogs here, and it's a tough matchup. The Eagles are unstoppable against the run right now. 15.5% of the yards against Philadelphia have come on the ground, lowest rate in the NFL. I'm pretty scared of Robinson. He's like my running back 30 right now. I don't really want to start anybody from, like, Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson are both really good, but, like, Washington is not targeting their wide receivers. McLaurin, tough matchup here. I mean, kind of. Like, the Eagles have been bad against receivers so far this season, but, like, Bradbury came back last week. I don't know how much time Sam Howell's going to have in the pocket in this game. And we did see when these teams played last season, Darius Slay shadowed Terry McLaurin on 63% of his routes in both meetings. So I do feel like if there's any success Washington has, it'll be in the air in this game. So I have McLaurin, you know, right around that 27 to 30 range of wide receiver. I don't see how I can start Jahan Dotson right now. Yes, he's playing out of the slot more. Yes, Avonte Maddox, the Eagles' top slot defensive back, is out. But we did see James Bradbury move inside more last game. And, like, there's just not a lot of usage from Dotson. I am okay starting Logan Thomas, though. He has been cleared to play. Missed last week with a concussion. Look, Washington is targeting tight ends 31.5% of the time, third highest rate in the NFL. And Logan Thomas has one full healthy game this year. He ran around on 78% of Washington's dropbacks, had a 25% target share. The Eagles have been bad against tight ends. Henry got them for 5 for 56 and a touchdown. Hockenson in week 2 got them for 7 for 66 and 2 touchdowns. So I think Logan Thomas is an awesome streaming play at tight end. And then for the Eagles, I mean, start them all, right? You're starting Hurts. You're starting DeAndre Swift, who's averaging like 5 yards before contact per attempt. Okay, it's only 4, but still, he's been unbelievable. 173 yards before contact. And the one thing I'll say about the Eagles' backfield, in week 3 on Monday, it was Kenneth Gainwell was active, and it was a quarter-by-quarter split. So Swift got the first quarter, Gainwell got the second, Swift backed in the third, Gainwell to end the fourth. So that's why Gainwell got all those touches and all that work on that final 9-minute drive to end the game in the fourth quarter, because he was on the field for the fourth quarter. 8 of his 14 carries came on that drive. I don't know if the Eagles have the same plan in place by quarter. If that's the case, Swift should still get enough work to be a really strong running back too. But there might be some instances where the Bucs last year with Fournette and Rashad White, where they went drive by drive, and sometimes Fournette was on the field when they went 10 play, 70-yard drives, and sometimes he's on the field when they went 3 and out. Now, by quarter, if that's the case the Eagles want to go with, kind of eliminates that a little bit, but just something to keep an eye on for sure with this game. And then, A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, Dallas Goedert, I'm starting all of them. I know Goddard's been a little bit frustrating, but like, unless you picked up Sam Laporta, like, who are you really benching him for? Bengals at Titans up next. Joe Burrow, definitely not 100%. He was out of the shotgun 98% of the time. There was no play action. Like, the Bengals clearly want to limit Joe Burrow's movement right now. 2.3 seconds or average time to throw. Like, it's just like, it's a very, very, very basic offense right now, given Joe Burrow's calf. I do think he'll be healthy enough here to have top 12 production against Tennessee. I mean, this is just such a good matchup. 79.8% of the yardage against the Titans has come through the air, the third highest rate in football. They've also allowed the quarterback 14, quarterback 11, and quarterback 10 in fantasy through 3 weeks. And almost every quarterback they face has had 300 passing yards. Watson was at like 290 last week, so they've been really, really bad. Joe Mixon, like, I get if you want to bench him if you have like Zach Moss or Kyren Williams. He's still getting, a ton of work. Matt, I don't expect him to be efficient here, but he should see 17 to 20 touches. I'm definitely ranking him low compared to where I have ranked him in the previous weeks, but again, like, unless you picked up Zach Moss or Kyren Williams or, I don't know, like, Swift obviously wasn't added, but like, you could have drafted Swift later and had mixed, like, Swift I would start over him. It's I'm trying to think, because we might get some running backs hopefully back healthy this week too, so I'd have to be pretty loaded at running back to start Mixon, but I would definitely temper expectations. Ja'Marr Chase finally had his breakout game last week. 12 catches, 141 yards on 15 targets. And with the way the Bengals offense is kind of different right now, they changed the usage of Ja'Marr Chase. He played out of the slot nearly 30% of the time. He's at 32% of the slot so far on the season. That's a career high. So they could continue to use him in the slot to get him easy targets because Burrow can't move and Burrow's getting the ball out of his hand so fast. And Chase should dominate the secondary. Titans have already allowed 3 100-yard games to wide receivers. Chase has a 37% target share against zone coverage this season. Titans are running zone about 60% of the time. And you look at what this team's allowed. I mean, Chris Olave, wide receiver 10. Rashid Shaheed in the same game, wide receiver 12. Keenan Allen, wide receiver 1 against them. Mike Williams, wide receiver 24. Amari Cooper, wide receiver 10. Makes me want to start T. Higgins as well. I know he's been bad in 2 of the 3 games. He has not had a lot of catchable targets for what it's worth. I know he had a bad drop last week, but Joe Burrow actually ranks dead last in on-target percentage at 64.3%. T has seen at least 8 targets in every game. I still have him as a top 20 wide receiver pretty easily here. Matchup is just too good. For the Titans, like, I don't really want to start DeAndre Hopkins. I know Hopkins and Burks were on the injury report. I haven't seen an update. Like, Hopkins, I feel like, is just going to play because he's always missing practices, and he can still, like, we've already seen this year where he missed a full week of practice and yet still played. So I do want to obviously check this because, like, say he does miss and Burks plays or vice versa. It definitely helps, and it definitely helps. Okay, so I just saw this 20 minutes ago. Treylon Burks has been ruled out. So that definitely helps Okonkwo. If Hopkins plays, he's a volume-based wide receiver 3. Definitely makes Okonkwo a little bit interesting. Like, I probably wouldn't go to, like, Westbrook Akine, but, like, Okonkwo's playing a season high in snaps and routes and everything, and the matchup's pretty good. The Bengals allowed the fifth most receptions, second most targets, and seventh most receiving yards to tight ends last season. They have been great to start this season, so that makes Okonkwo a little bit more interesting. And then Derrick Henry, I know he's been disappointing. The game script was awful for him last week. Hopefully the Titans can keep this game close. He has been less efficient this season, but the Bengals have allowed 17.8% of runs against him to gain 10-plus yards. It's the highest rate in the NFL. They've also allowed the second-most yards before contact per rush, so quietly a decent spot for Derrick Henry. But yeah, so Treylon Burks ruled out, saw that about 20 minutes ago. So do with that what you will. Las Vegas at the Chargers up next. So we're still waiting on the status of Austin Eckler. He's been limited in practice. The Chargers have a week 5 bye. I would guess it would make more sense to just give him one more week. I think they can win this game without Eckler, especially with the way Justin Herbert's been playing. But also they just lost Mike Williams, so maybe they think getting Eckler back would be really important. Jimmy Garoppolo in the concussion protocol, I believe he's still not cleared as of Friday, so that puts him really in jeopardy of missing this game. If he's out, I'm still starting Adams. I'm probably still starting Jacoby Myers. I don't think the philosophy changes this offense, whether it's Brian Hoyer at quarterback. They're literally only throwing to Myers and Adams. The two have combined for 63.4% of the team's targets and over 68% of the receiving yards. Myers is still tied for first with 5 end zone targets from inside the 5-yard line, despite missing a game. He's been really good. Davante Adams is, like, we always talk about Jefferson and Tyreek and Chase as the best receivers in the NFL. I still feel like we don't talk about Adams enough. He's still as good as anybody. We saw that last week. And then Josh Jacobs, I know it's been a mess, but still averaging just under 19 touches per game. I'm still starting him. I think the breakout's coming. Chargers, they give it up to the running backs. The offensive line's been bad. For the Chargers, Justin Herbert, elite play. He has been unbelievable. Just went 40 of 47 for 405 yards. He's been a top 6 quarterback in 2 of 3 weeks and a top 12 quarterback in all weeks. We are seeing him throw the ball downfield more in the games without Austin Eckler, which makes sense because Joshua Kelly is not getting targeted, so they're just throwing the ball downfield more. If Eckler's out, it actually might give Herbert more of a ceiling because he's throwing the ball downfield more and Eckler's not converting all of these short yardage carries into touchdowns. Either way, Herbert's a top 5 play against the Raiders. They have allowed multiple touchdown passes in every game this season, as well as the third highest passing touchdown rate and third highest completion rate at just under 75%. We'll see about Eckler. If he's back, you're playing him. If he's out, please be back. I don't know if I can do it with Joshua Kelly again. Started them each of the last 2 weeks, and it's been brutal. Yes, the usage and the snaps and everything have been great, but with how bad he's been, who's to say this wouldn't be the week the Chargers say, you know what, let's see what Isaiah Spiller can do for us or something like that. So I would still have Kelly as a risky running back 3/flex if Eckler is out one more week. Keenan Allen's been ridiculous. You're starting him since week 11 of last season when he returned from the hamstring. 8.3 receptions, 98 receiving yards, 11 targets, and 22 PPR points per game. He's amazing. You're starting him. But Mike Williams being out for the year, this is interesting with the rest of the receivers because Joshua Palmer enters the wide receiver 3 discussion. We've seen a decent sample size of Josh Palmer playing without one of Keenan Allen or Mike Williams. Last year, he played six games with Williams out. Since 2020, he's played in six games with Mike Williams out of the lineup. In those games, he's averaging 8 targets, 5 receptions, 57 receiving yards, and just under 12 fantasy points per game. And dating back to last season, Joshua Palmer has seen at least 5 targets in 14 games. In those games, he's averaging just under 13 fantasy points per game, so I'll take that. And then tight end, Gerald Everett hasn't practiced with an illness so far this week. If he plays, maybe we see more of an emphasis on 12 personnel, which means he becomes a little bit more trustworthy. We did see him run around on 50% of dropbacks last week. Donald Parham was only at 32%, despite Parham scoring the 2 touchdowns. Good matchup here. I think Gerald Everett could be an interesting streamer with Mike Williams out. Hopefully he gets more usage than he's seen so far. These last couple games are really easy, to be honest with you. I mean, Dallas at home against the Patriots. I'm not starting anybody in the Patriots outside of Ramondre. I know it's been frustrating. Last week, the Patriots just said, you know what, we don't fear the Jets' offense. We're just going to run the ball. And that was their plan going into the game, and they did that. I mean, Zeke had 16 carries. Ramondre had 18 or 19. Zeke was obviously much more efficient, but, like, Stevenson's still not coming off the field on third downs. Dallas, actually, the weakness of this defense, if anything, is the run. We just saw James Conner have 98 yards and a touchdown against him on 14 carries. So, Silver Mondre is like a mid to low end running back too. And then for Dallas, it's Tony Pollard and CeeDee Lamb. Like, I'm out on Dak this week. The offensive line is still banged up. Dak hasn't played extremely well. There's not a huge ceiling here. I mean, New England's been great against quarterbacks, right? And they faced Jalen Hurts. They faced Tua. Like, obviously last week they faced Zach Wilson, but like, they were great against Tua and Jalen Hurts. So I don't want to start Dak. Tony Pollard is getting insane volume, 25 touches per game, leads the NFL in carries from inside the 10-yard line. He also leads FTN's expected fantasy points at 65.2, but he scored about 10 fewer points than expected. So a massive game is coming from Tony Pollard. You're starting CeeDee Lamb. And I will say Michael Gallup is an interesting like DFS GPP value play. He looked good last week. He's been much more efficient against man coverage over his career. Last year, 22% target share against man coverage, just 13% against zone. Patriots play a ton of man coverage, and their defense is really banged up in the secondary. Arizona at San Fran. You're benching everybody on Arizona outside of probably James Conner. James Conner, though, I mean, so underrated. Dating back to last season, he's now averaging 18.4 fantasy points per game in 9 games with Kyler Murray out. In those games, he's finished as the running back 2, 16, 5, 12, 4, 15, 20, 15, and 6. He has a carry or a target on 36% of the Cardinals are on his snaps, the 6th highest rate in the league. Brutal matchup, but I'm not benching him unless I'm loaded at running back. And I guess Hollywood Brown's okay. Back-to-back games of touchdown, 27% target share on the season. And because you can't run on San Fran, receivers are actually averaging 18.7 receptions per game against him, the 4th most in the league. Keep an eye on San Fran. I think Purdy's still on that quarterback's 1/QB2 borderline. He has now thrown multiple touchdown passes in 8 of 9 regular season starts since last year. He's been a top 15 fantasy quarterback in all but 2 of those games. You're obviously starting McCaffrey, who has now scored a touchdown in 13 consecutive games. He is awesome. Cardinals allowed the 7th most yards after contact per attempt. Christian McCaffrey is averaging 4.3 yards after contact per attempt. Debo, he's been on the injury report. Hopefully he plays, because if he does, it is a great spot. Cardinals play a ton of zone defense over 60% of the time. Debo is 2nd in the NFL with a 38.6% target share against zone coverage. If he's out and Ayuk, like, you're starting Ayuk and Debo regardless, but obviously, like, I have Debo closer to wide receiver 1, 2A wide receiver 1 if he plays, given the matchup. If he's out, Ayuk goes right to where Debo would be ranked. And then Kittle. We know when one of Ayuk or Samuel are out, Kittle smashes. That was the case last week. He got 7 for 90 yards with Ayuk out. He has destroyed the Cardinals, for what it's worth. They've been bad against tight ends for a while. They're bad again this year. Last year, or dating back to the last 2 years, the last 3 games, Kittle has 2 touchdowns, 1 touchdown, 24.5, 18.9, and 20 fantasy points. So, again, recording this about mid-afternoon, probably won't get the news for a little bit, but if Debo's out, Ayuk, Kittle, smash plays, obviously. Chiefs at Jets, starting Patrick Mahomes. You're starting Travis Kelce. Isaiah Pacheco is on the running back 2/flex radar. Like, I understand he only played 43% of snaps, and Clyde played 31% and had 16 touches. Keep in mind, Patrick Mahomes came out after the first drive of the third quarter. That's also when Isaiah Pacheco came out of the game. And 11 of CH's 16 touches came once Mahomes left the game, once Pacheco left the game. So huge favorites here. Jets run defense is tough, but Pacheco should get, you know, 15 opportunities here in a good game script. And for the Jets, like, it's probably just Garrett Wilson. I mean, he's still dominating the usage, 31% target share. The Chiefs blitz at the highest rate, one of the highest rates in the NFL at 36%. It's obviously early, but Garrett Wilson has 59% of the Chiefs of the Jets' targets against the blitz. Last year, in a obviously more of a sample size, it was at 29%. So I have Wilson as a high-end wide receiver 3. And Breece Hall hopefully rips off a couple long runs. He did play a season high in terms of snaps last week, which is good. The problem is teams are just stacking the box against the Jets. 27% of his carries have come against a stacked box. It's been very frustrating. Last game of the week, Monday night, Seattle at the Giants. I love Geno Smith here. Giants, they've been bad on defense. They've allowed the quarterback 5 and 13 in fantasy the last two games. They're blitzing 42% of the time, second highest rate in the league. Geno's been really good against the blitz. Last year, he completed 63% of his passes with 7 touchdowns against it. So far this year, 66% completion rate with 3 scores against the blitz. Geno's a top 12 quarterback for me. You're starting Ken Walker. Yes, Zach Charbonnet has seen his snaps go up each week, but it hasn't led to like Walker getting fewer touches. He's still averaging like 18.5 per game. He still has handled 86% of the carries inside the 5 for Seattle. And it's an awesome spot. The Giants, 13.3% of the runs against him have gained 10-plus yards, one of the highest rates in the league. They're allowing 138 rushing yards per game. Ken Walker, must start. DK Metcalf, must start. He's been better against man coverage. Giants play a ton of man defense, top 5 in the league in terms of man coverage rate. And DK Metcalf in 2022, 30% target share against man. So far this season, 27.3%. And he's been targeted on 31% of his routes against man coverage. He'll see coverage from two rookies in Deontay Banks and Trey Hawkins. Tyler Lockett, a little bit lower than DK for me this week, but still a good matchup for him as well. And then for the Giants, I like Daniel Jones here to bounce back. Obviously, bad spot, bad game against San Fran last week, but the Seahawks have allowed all three quarterbacks to face them to have 300-plus passing yards. They've also quietly been a pass funnel. 80.5% of the yardage against them has come through the air, second highest rate in the league, and teams have scored on 100% of red zone trips against Seattle so far this season. Yes, Daniel Jones didn't do much on the ground last week, but dating back to last season, he still rushed for at least 30 yards in 11 of his last 20 games, so I still like Daniel Jones as one of the best streaming options at quarterback. We'll see on Saquon Barkley. The initial report was that he would miss 3 weeks with the ankle sprain. He's day-to-day. Like, he's probably going to be legitimately questionable. Unfortunately, it's a Monday night game, so hopefully you added Matt Breida, who would be, like, you know, break glass in case of emergency running back. He played 80% of snaps last week with Barkley out, but you're lucky he scored the touchdown. Not a good matchup. It's a really good matchup for the wide receivers, right? I mean, look at what the Seahawks have allowed so far this season. 4 100-yard games. Puka, wide receiver 9. Tutu, wide receiver 15. Amon-Ra, wide receiver 34. Thielen last week, wide receiver 3. Their secondary is banged up, but like, who's the Giants wide receiver you want to start? I mean, if I had to be anybody, I guess it would be Darius Slayton. But, you know, Paris Campbell got a lot of work last week. Wanda Robinson saw 5 targets on just 9 pass routes last week. It's risky, but the matchup is there. And like, a lot of people are worried about Darren Waller. I don't really get it. Like, week 1, he was targeted on 22% of his routes, had an 18% target share before sitting out most of the second half in a blowout. Week 2, against the Cardinals, he had a good game, 6 for 76. Last week, admittedly he didn't play well, but tough matchup, still saw 22% of the targets, and was targeted on 26% of his routes. Seahawks allowing the highest yards per target to opposing tight ends this season. I am not benching Darren Waller. That'll do it for us, though, here on the FTN DataCast, the Week 4 read option. Appreciate everybody listening, reading, consuming the content, checking out everything over at FTN Fantasy. It's been such a fun season so far. And, you know, while it seems like there's still a lot of time left, the season goes by so fast. So keep it locked here at the FTN DataCast, FTN Fantasy, FTN Daily, FTN Bets. I would be here for the next hour if I just were to sit here and list all the amazing content, tools, projections, articles, podcasts, streams, videos, everything we have in store at FTNFantasy.com. But you'll have to go see for yourself. Plus, the access to the Discord is worth it as well. So excited for week number 4. Don't forget, we have that London game early. I believe it's 9:30 a.m. So make sure you are up. Make sure your lineups are set, because nothing worse than, you know, having somebody play in your lineup that wasn't actually active for that London game, and you start your day off with a 0. But best of luck in week 4. Thanks, everybody, for listening. As always, for the FTN DataCast and for FTNFantasy.com, I'm Adam Pfeiffer. We'll talk to you next time. Peace.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the FTN DataCast with Adam Pfeiffer. Be sure to follow your host on Twitter at apfeiffer24. Hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. And we'll see you next time on the FTN DataCast, where data drives the discussion.